So what would it sound like if God gave America a State of the Union address?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Did you watch the State of the Union last night? If you did, what were your thoughts? How did it leave you feeling afterwards? Very interesting to see polling of those who watched the State of the Union. I got home from teaching night class last night, sitting down to have some salad, and realized State of the Union was on. So I got to watch a good part of it and then read transcripts of other parts that I missed and looking at some of the feedback. I didn't write anything immediately because I didn't feel the Lord gave me any special insight. In other words, everybody can comment, and okay, I had this opinion, that opinion, I like this line, wish this was said, you know, whatever. But you know, if I'm going to say something, I want it to have substance. So as I've been praying and thinking, the question has been really rising in my own heart, what would God say about the State of the Union in America? Every president is going to be as optimistic and positive as they can in State of the Union and sound some type of unifying note, generally speaking. There are a number of specifics we can talk about in the context of last night's address, but what would God say to us? What would God say to America? What would God say to the Church of America? 866-34-TRUTH. You're listening to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Thanks for joining us. 866-348-7884. Another question for you before we start to get into some specifics here. Overall, how do you feel about the state of America today? Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the state of America? So when I say overall, spiritually, economically, socially, politically, overall, if you had to say, I feel optimistic overall or pessimistic overall, where would your sentiments be? We did some polling about that. We'll talk to you about that in a moment as well. Again, to respond, 866-348-7884. Overall, are you feeling optimistic or pessimistic about the state of America? So we're talking holistically, both spiritually and economically, both socially and politically, and all the other aspects of our society, our world, the world in which we live in here in America. Now, you may just say, well, hey, I always have faith in God. I'm always optimistic. Or, hey, we're in a sinful, fallen world. I'm always pessimistic. I understand. But specifically about America, are you optimistic, pessimistic? Second question, which in a certain sense is related but can be totally unrelated, how did you feel about the president's State of the Union address? 866-34-TRUTH. So we will get to some calls. Let me share my perspective. And I'm really looking for ways to articulate this. I'm looking to convey this in writing later today to put out as well. So I'm fleshing this out with all of you now, listening, watching on the air. I feel a certain sadness in my heart. Although I was pleased with the president's speech, and I thought it was a good, positive speech, and although you'll be interested to see the people that we've been polling on Twitter and Facebook, where they're at in terms of their optimism or their pessimism, I think you'll be interested to hear that. But in my own heart, as I look at God's perspective on our nation, I feel a certain sadness. If God was giving the State of the Union, he wouldn't be giving us a pep talk, because that's not what God does in Scripture, right? He's not a politician. He's not a president. He is God. So he would speak to us differently than any political leader would speak to us. And in that sense, we're not looking for a man to do that. I was not looking for Donald Trump to do that. Overall, I thought it was a very good speech and was pleased with it. And further discussion about that. However, here's what I felt. As I've been praying and thinking, God, what's your heart about America? How do you feel about America? there's something very, very deep inside of me that's been burdening me. And I was kind of surprised to process this in my own heart. But I feel a fundamental sadness, in my heart. But I feel this from the Lord because of the depth of divisions in our midst and because of our lack of love one for another. That if I heard the Lord speaking with sadness to America today, part of what I'd hear is this voice saying, but you don't love one another. You are so divided. And this is, listen, I'm not talking about setting up some kind of artificial unity. I don't mean that in some superficial way that we just should be nicer to each other. But let me give you an interesting Jewish tradition. Judaism asked the question several hundred years after the destruction of the Second Temple, so several hundred years after the time of Jesus. Judaism asked the question, why was the first temple destroyed in 586 BC by the Babylonians? Well, there were horrific sins in the nation. There was idolatry. There was injustice. There was immorality. You had the sacrificing of children. You had horrific things that went on. Well, how long was the exile? 70 years. And for most of that time, the temple was destroyed. Well, then the question is asked, what about the second temple? Because now, by the time this is being asked in Jewish literature, the second temple has been destroyed for several hundred years. Why was the second temple destroyed? Seeing that, we didn't have idolatry. In other words, the way you had it during the first temple, you didn't have during the second temple. That was largely purged through the exile. And the immorality, the injustice, the child sacrifice, those kinds of things, that seemed to be greatly reduced or completely removed during the time of the second temple. So that being the case, some of it completely removed, some of it greatly reduced. If the first temple, where you had these gross sins of idolatry and immorality and injustice, and child sacrifice, you had these horrific sins, because of which the temple was destroyed for the better part of 70 years, why now, if most of those sins in the form that they existed before were not there during the second temple time, why then has the second temple been destroyed for hundreds of years? Now, we would say, not hundreds of years now, but 2,000 years, going on 2,000 years. You know, think of it like this. A judge sentenced someone to jail for murder, cold-blooded murder, all right, and you're going to be in prison for life. And now someone else robs a bank, and they say you get 10 life sentences. You think, well, how could that work? So what was the great sin of the Second Temple? Now, of course, from our perspective as followers of Jesus, we'd say that's simple. It was the rejection of Jesus, the Messiah. It was the Son of God came, and he said to his people, you didn't realize, you didn't recognize the time of your visitation. So that would be big. That would be everything that we would say. But there's an interesting Jewish tradition that says the Second Temple was destroyed because of, in Hebrew, sinat chinam, which is baseless hatred. Now, I say correct, baseless hatred towards the Messiah. It would take a sin of that magnitude for the temple to be destroyed this long. But there's a Jewish tradition that there was baseless hatred among different friends, clans, families, and it ends up, you know, it's kind of spreading. And anyway, it seems so small when Jewish literature describes it. But what it's saying is that baseless hatred and this type of division between friends and brothers and families is worse than all these other sins. Now again, this is just a Jewish tradition. And I'm saying the Jewish tradition missed the big part here, which is namely the Messiah. However, the point that baseless hatred, the point that division is so ugly in God's sight is something that we really need to consider. Now, let's just talk within the body, within the church here. Let's just talk within the church. Let's recognize how much emphasis God's word puts on loving one another. For us as believers, how often it addresses loving one another, see that you love one another from pure heart fervently. I posted some verses from 1 Peter about that last week when doing shows for God TV, recording 21 shows, preaching shows for God TV last week, went through the Sermon on the Mount and nine weeks, nine shows, and then went through 1 Peter and five shows, one chapter each week. And I was just struck again by how much Peter speaks about love one another, love one another, love one another, how much Jesus prayed for our unity. So not only is there a tremendous lack of love in the body, but the amount of lack of love in the society and the amount of division in the society is something that grieves the heart of God. And Abraham Lincoln warned us that a nation divided, quoting from the words of Jesus, cannot stand. And I feel if God was speaking to us at the State of the Union, that with sadness I could hear him say, but you have so little love for one another. And let me just give you a quick example, all right? I want to get to some of your calls, and I've got some clips to play for you. I want to look at some online responses to the State of the Union last night, take you into our polling data. But, okay, we won't be playing the clips, but I want to give you some of this other information. When it comes to loving one another, let's say that you are a strong conservative. Let's say that you're a strong supporter of President Trump, or you would have voted for one of the other Republican candidates, and you're kind of an anyone but Hillary person. And when you see her face on TV, you get annoyed, or when you hear her voice, you get annoyed. Do you love her? Do you love her? Yes, I absolutely voted against her. My main vote was a vote against Hillary Clinton. It was for Donald Trump, but primarily against Hillary Clinton. Had I known some of the good Trump would do, I could have voted for him even more enthusiastically. But no question, it was a vote against Hillary Clinton. And I didn't watch it in the Grammys, though she read from the anti-Trump book by Michael Wolff, Fire and Fury, and people panned that, etc. And you know, she's always getting blasted and attacked and so on. Okay, I believe many of her stances are very wrong and ugly in God's sight, but do you love her? Do you pray for her with love? Or do you just think, I hope something bad happens to her? I'm not talking to you candidly. What about those of you that oppose President Trump and that you're just sickened by him and you claim to be followers of Jesus? Do you love him? Do you pray for him with love? Do we practice loving our enemies? What if God was ultimately judging us in America by one thing? Do you love one another? How then would we score? How would we turn out in God's sight? All right, much more to come. Just getting started, 866-342-3. We come back, I want to take you into some polls I'm doing right now on Facebook and Twitter. And we'll go to your calls as well, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Let me take you over to Facebook and Twitter. I've been doing polls there and asking folks overall, how do you feel about the state of America? So what's your sense about the state of our union? Holistically, politically, spiritually, socially, economically. So over on Facebook, where we've got 900-something votes so far, 65% say they're feeling optimistic. 35% say they're feeling pessimistic. And here's my question. Overall, from our spiritual condition to our economic condition to our social condition, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the state of America? So far, over 900 votes there, 65% optimistic to 35% pessimistic. So basically 2-1, almost 2-1, which is an interesting number in terms of people's attitude, how they feel, where we're going, what's going on. All right, over on Twitter, interesting, the results here were even higher. Same question, exactly. But overall, the Twitter feed, where we've got over 1,000 votes so far, was over 75%, more than three-quarters, saying that they were feeling optimistic, more optimistic than pessimistic. Now, here's something interesting. Responses to the president's speech last night, responses to the State of the Union. This is really interesting to look at. Drudge Report saying CBS News says 75% of the people had a favorable response to the president's speech. Let's take a look. CNN posted results of a poll and said Trump gets least positive reaction in at least 20 years. All right. So when their question about how do you feel, you're confident in Trump's absolutes to carry out his duties as president, 42% said very confident, 15% said somewhat confident, not confident, 43%. And overall, for the poll they looked at, CNN, 48% of speech watchers have, quote, very positive reaction. Now, here's what's fascinating. These numbers are way, 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 way lower than other numbers. Way, way, way lower. I mean, one after another after another. These come in way lower, which would mean that the people responding to the CNN poll, I mean, from my reading of it, must be so influenced by CNN's constant negativity that those are the ones responding. Just like the people, you know, if I ask for calls here, it's mainly the people who listen regularly to the radio show who are going to call in or who are going to respond to polls or people who follow me on Facebook and Twitter. So we're not claiming this is scientific. We're just getting responses. But CNN's putting this out as if it's a scientific poll. And yet the number is radically different. Here's something interesting, again, very telling. Fox News has a story about students reacting to the speech. Look at this. College students react negatively to Trump's State of the Union before it even happens. All right. So, again, no surprise here. I have no question that if it was Barack Obama about to deliver a speech and you were talking to some conservative activists, that they'd have a negative reaction before it starts. I'm not saying it only goes one way. I'm just saying this is how biased we can be. This is how we see it this particular way, and no matter what you say, it's not going to influence me. It reminds me of after I did a debate one time with my friend Rabbi Shmuley about Jesus being the Messiah in New York City, that afterwards a Jewish woman came up to me and asked me a question. And as I answered her, she asked me the question. And then as I began to speak to her, she just shook her head back and forth. No. And I said, you're not even listening to me. She goes, I'm listening. I said, well, you're already saying no. Just keep your head steady then. If you're actually listening, stop with the back and forth negative. But that's how a lot of people are. So you come in with preconceived ideas. Now look at this. Breitbart, so conservative website, they're saying the results are very different. And their data says 75%, same as CBS, 75% approve of Trump's State of the Union address. So CNN does their poll. They come up with much lower numbers here. Breitbart, others have polls where the numbers are much, much higher. And then look at this. Washington Post, all right? Washington Post has some responses to the speech and talking about different ones weighing in. So they grade it, all right? Trump's State of the Union address was an 8.5, right? In a scale of 1 to 10, President Trump's first State of the Union address was an 8.5. We all know that when conditions are right and the teleprompter is functioning, Trump can do pretty well. But the question is whether his words really mean anything. So let's just scroll down this article a little bit. I want to read some of it to you. Stylistically, Trump was, well, Trump. Right, it's not much of an inspirational speaker, not the best with a teleprompter, but you get the real guy, you get him genuinely. And what's interesting to me, what's interesting about all this is what I've been feeling in my heart about God saying to us, you don't love one another. You don't love one another. When one of the big thing that's being highlighted is when President Trump said unemployment among Black Americans is at an all-time low. And it did not get a positive response from Democrats. It did not get a standing ovation. It did not get claps. That raises questions about, are you more partisan? Do you care about others, or are you more partisan in your politics? I think a serious question for all of us. All right, let's go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. We start with Monty in Granger, Iowa. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good day, sir. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you, sir.
Which you want me to answer first for you?
Well, God's perspective on the State of the Union. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have been, it was interesting you brought up Abraham Lincoln, because the two things I've been studying right now in my biblical devotions, I'm in Jeremiah.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm reading Carl Sandburg's book on Abraham Lincoln. So, of course, the House Divided that you made comment about is definitely true. And the thing about partisan politics, we've never had partisan politics. All you got to do is study history and you see that.
Right.
Now, of course, the spiritual aspect of things, if you study Jeremiah, we're in a world of hurt. And, of course, here in a couple of months, I'll be in the Minor Prophets. And the story's the same thing. I mean, when we have a Senate that can vote down the abortion issue just a couple of days ago that they voted down,
extraordinary.
We are so far from having our spiritual state the way it should be. And if that's the case, judgment has to come.
Yeah, I don't see a way around it. I honestly, you know, for many years haven't. And I honestly believe that many of the problems in America today are the result of divine judgment, either allowing us to reap what we sow on the one hand,
Absolutely. Or
withdrawing his hand of grace in other ways. But look, we just have in general a culture of death more and more and more. Certainly that's sowing and reaping because of abortion. There's you know, just that alone. And then in other things, you know, look at all the stuff that's happening with the women coming forward with Me Too. Well, you know, we've had such a hypersexualized culture that you now have guys just thinking they can do whatever they want to do because women are sexual objects. So there's a reaping of what we sow. So in many ways, we are a nation currently under judgment. Let me ask you this, because I wrote a commentary on Jeremiah and intimately familiar with the book. When you read
I'm very familiar with it. I got your autographed copy.
Ah, awesome, awesome. Okay, wonderful. So as you're reading Jeremiah, do you ever have times where you're kind of shaking on the inside where it hits you like that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you just, you know, and I think it was Billy Graham that used to say that if God doesn't judge us, then he has to apologize to
right.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And because, you know, you kind of went through the list earlier of what we're doing wrong, and of course, what Judah did wrong during its lifetime, and of course, that's what's in Jeremiah. I mean, you know, we're doing the same thing. I mean, if God is a God that is sovereign and is total control, which I will admit is the only saving grace that we have, realizing that we are his children and he is sovereign. So,
yep.
You know, because of that, I have, I guess I'll say faith, okay, that things will be taken care of. Now, does that mean judgment? Possibly. And yes, it scares, you know, pardon the terminology, it scares the bejeebies out of me.
Yeah. And you know, here's the other thing, Monty, is that When we consider how much has been given to us, and then in certain ways how little we've done with it, that's concerning. And you know, the other thing to me is there's so many millions of believers in America, and often we're so complacent, often we're so caught up with this world. I was teaching a class on revival to our first and second year students last night at Fire School of Ministry, and as I was teaching them and talking about these things, I was struck again by how far the American church is from a revived mentality, how at home we are in this world, and how little we think of eternity. So Monty, listen, we need to wrestle with these things. Thank you, sir, for calling in. And that'd be a question. If Jeremiah was alive today, bring us a message, what would it be? You say, well, that's the difference. Jeremiah was an old covenant prophet, not a new covenant prophet. All right, read the words of Jesus in Revelation 2 and 3 to the churches in Asia Minor. What if it was just Jesus speaking to the Church of America? What would he say? I'm convinced to the core of my being, a large part of the message would be a call to wake up and repent and return to our first love. And if we did that, America could be shaken. Thanks, sir, for weighing in. We'll get to more calls. Turns out we can't play those clips for you, so I want to play a couple of excerpts from the speech. And let me ask you this. What are we doing well? What's right about America? What's good about America? You know, when Jesus spoke to the seven churches in Asia Minor, with the exception of Laodicea, of whom he said nothing positive, he found something positive to say about each one. What would God say to us that is positive? We'll be right back.
Shake the nation, change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Realizing that she was desperately wanting someone to adopt a baby, I just felt God telling me, tell her that you will do it because you can. You can.
So that was the voice of a police officer who was featured by President Trump in last night's State of the Union address. And I searched the transcript for the word God, and I believe it was used four times by the president, and he emphasized our motto is In God We Trust. And then he referred to this account here as one of the noble things being done by Americans. This is something very positive that's been done in State of the Union addresses where individuals can be highlighted. And of course, President Trump was careful to highlight folks from multi-ethnic backgrounds. There were two African-American couples. There were at least a couple of one or two Hispanics at least that were mentioned and others just to say part of our culture here, part of our family here, part of those people struggling and having hard times, those who are doing amazing things just to bring us together. So obviously a president is supposed to do that. But it did strike me when he spoke about this particular account, how freely he talked about God speaking to this person. Listen to how the president described it last night.
In that moment, Ryan said he felt God speak to him. You will do it because you can. He heard those words. He took out a picture of his wife and their four kids. Then he went home to tell his wife, Rebecca. In an instant, she agreed to adopt. The Hollettes named their new daughter Hope. Ryan and Rebecca, you embody the goodness of our nation. Thank you.
Yeah, quite an extraordinary thing. Not just that here's a policeman, here's a woman about to shoot heroin, and no hope for her baby, and an amazing situation where a police officer feels God say to him, you take care of that baby. You care for that baby. So that's big enough. But for the president to freely refer to God, he felt God said those words to him. Hey, okay, I'm going to get into this. I didn't plan out, but I'm going to get into this for a second. And here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. I'll give you a couple of questions. What do you feel about the state of our union? Overall, are you optimistic or pessimistic? Overall, spiritually, economically, politically, overall, the state of America, how do you feel? Are you optimistic or pessimistic? 866-34-TRUTH. Another question. If God was going to speak of the things we're doing well, what would he say? I have no question that we are lacking in love one for another. I have no question that our deep divisions hurt the heart of the Lord within the church and beyond. I have no question about that in my own mind. But what are we doing well? Here are some individual examples that the president highlighted, as well as calling us to share in the pain of others in the country that are going through difficult, painful times. But if God was speaking to us about what we're doing well, and by the way, feel free to post on YouTube if you're watching or Facebook, if you feel there's some things we are doing well, doing right, that the church is doing right, that God would commend us for, what would that be? 866-34-TRUTH. But I'm going to meddle with something here for a minute because I can, just like this police officer felt God said to him, do it because you can. So this is my radio show, so I can. To all of my friends, my cessationist friends, that you listen regularly, you might be a critic, you might love the broadcast, but you listen regularly and you don't share my views that the gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, tongues, healing are normative today, all right? But we're brothers and sisters in the Lord despite those differences. Some of you say, but if God's still speaking today, that adds to the canon of Scripture. And we're saying, no, he's not giving us further doctrinal information that we have to believe, or further truths about the gospel that are not found in the Bible that we have to believe, or some universal commandment for everyone in the church, you all have to keep this or live by this. We don't believe that. But we believe God's speaking in many different ways, dreams and visions, and through his prophetic voice. And this would be a perfect example. So how does this mess with your theology? If God speaks to this man, yeah, you can do it. You can take this child in. You do it. Take this child in. It's not adding to the Bible. It's not adding to the canon of Scripture. It's not adding in terms of revelatory information. So when we talk about God speaking, this is the type of stuff we're talking about. Is it that troubling to you? And please don't hear anything derogatory or condescending in my question. I don't mean it like that. I'm making an honest appeal. Is it that troubling to you that this would be a situation where, you know, God couldn't speak? Well, why not? If Jesus' sheep hear his voice in an ongoing way, according to Scripture, if in the last days, these days in which we live, it says your sons and daughters will prophesy and there'll be dreams and visions, etc., if those kinds of things can happen, if those who are led by the Spirit are children of God, why couldn't it be that the Holy Spirit would lead someone to do this and that they could actually hear God's voice? Is that so outlandish to you? Is it so outlandish? So again, what are we doing well? What are we doing right? Just scrolling through some YouTube comments. Okay, just bunches of other things here that don't tie in directly. Just taking a look at what's up there. Let's go to the phones. And again, if God was giving us a State of the Union address, I believe one of the major things he would say to the nation as a whole is you have so little love for each other. I tweeted out last night that if you're going to go to the State of the Union and pout and not stand up and not applaud, better to stay home. It doesn't look good. Now I know it's gone both ways. I'm sure it's gone both ways. I'm sure Republicans have done it to Democrat presidents and Democrat presidents have done it to Republican presidents, or at least I assume it's gone both ways. But it doesn't make you look good if you're going to show up there for the State of the Union, okay? Maybe you're required to basically have to be there. To show up there and then have kind of a sour face, and the president says something like, unemployment among black Americans is the lowest it's ever been, and you sit there glum because either you don't agree with the statistic or you feel that it makes the president look good or he's taking credit for something he doesn't deserve, but it doesn't make you look good. And a friend said to me, not just they should stay home, but we should send them home. In other words, if you couldn't stand and clap for fellow Americans doing well, then why should we vote for you? Fair question. One comment on YouTube, I'm optimistic of the State of the Union because God is using President Trump and all men to fulfill his will. If you believe God's at work in the midst of it, doing positive things, that would make you optimistic. Yeah, of course. So on the hearing God, as long as people's hearing God doesn't go against Scripture, I don't mind. Well, of course, everything's tested by Scripture. Of course, 100%. Scripture is the Word of God, the one and only Word of God, capital W. But does God still speak, lead many ways? Of course, certainly. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. We'll start with Andre in Greensboro. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hey. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm the foreign, actually. We moved here, immigrate to U.S. in 2003 from Ukraine.
Ah, okay.
So, I'm a Christian. My family, Christian. So I really thank God that finally, and maybe in the history, probably the one so far what I remember from Soviet Union and at this moment in the United States, that the president really stands for people. And he proclaimed the word of God up front of all of the public, what we hear yesterday.
But, and Andre, how old are you? How old are you, sir?
I'm 38.
38. And how long have you been in America?
Since 2003.
Okay. So you lived into your 20s in Ukraine, and then the rest of your time here. So just really quickly, what should, having come from Ukraine to America, what should Americans appreciate about our country. You come from Ukraine. You see a lot of things. What should Americans appreciate about their country that maybe they don't appreciate?
First of all, I meet a lot of people by work, you know, just where I'm working. I do the construction every single time. I meet the homeowners and just regular people. And they say something worse as a ridiculous or something is, no, we cannot, this is too much, or like, you know, something, we need freedom. First of all, what I tell for these people, we have in America, we have too much freedom. That's why a lot of going on and bad, I'm saying about the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're saying for the bad stuff, we cannot even say thank you. Like we see yesterday, you know, I don't want to say Democrat, but a lot of people was just sitting there and not say even or clap the hands or say, you know, that's good. And it's really whatever it was addressed and tell for the public, it was positive. It's not something making up, but it's numbers. You cannot go against them. It's a number. So compared to Russia or Ukraine, you can say whatever you want. It not does not affect the people. Okay, so I'm saying the president can say anything he wants, but it's not true. So what we hear yesterday, it's a true.
Yeah,
and you cannot fight against it. So you cannot. I mean, you honestly, with all my anti-sympathy to the President Trump, I'm saying anti-sympathy as a person, okay, as an older man, but I'm love what he's doing, and I'm really pray for that for this man.
Yeah,
and I'm praying for his work, what he's been done, and I hope God will be with him rest of the as. Much as he can continue what he's doing.
Yeah, and let me say this one other thing, Andre, which is you more than most could talk about America being a land of opportunity. It really is so much more than we realize. With all of our faults and blemishes, it really is a place where you have such a different mentality. I was talking to folks from Ukraine, former Soviet Union over the weekend about the American mentality of can do, we can do it, which is really not what's ingrained deeply into a society that was under communism so long. Hey, just going over to Facebook, a comment from Mark, the Democrats were visibly defeated and bitter. I was actually surprised that they decided to show their weakness as much as they did. It did not help their cause. If you're a Democrat, you have to say this didn't help your cause with responding like that. Okay, we'll come right back to your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let's learn from the Lord here, from the wisdom of the Lord. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, before spending a whole book correcting them, he starts off praising them for the good. And he does that anywhere he has to bring correction or raise an issue, except for the Galatians, where he just lays right into them with rebuke. But of course, there's promise for restoration and call for restoration. But everyone else, he starts with what they're doing well, what they're doing that's good, that's commendable, and then goes to correction. And Jesus in the book of Revelation, with the seven churches in Asia Minor, all except for Laodicea, the last one, he speaks for four out of six. Here's what you're doing well, but here are serious issues. Repent or else. And then the other two, just here's what you're doing well, and just encourages them to stay strong. Doesn't even call to repent. So five out of seven, repent or else. But four out of those five, he first speaks of what's good. So just ask the question, what's America doing right? Someone posted on Twitter, well, we're sending out and supporting lots of missionaries. We continue to do that. We are praying. So I think it's healthy, friends, in any relationship, in any conflict situation. But here in America, looking at the church, looking at the nation, to sit down and think of all the good that's happening, all the positive, the things we're doing right, the things we're getting right. All right, so it's President Trump. What's he getting right? What's he doing right? What's the church in America getting right, doing right? As a nation, what's good about our nation? Put that on one side. And then on the other side, okay, what do you think the president's doing wrong? What's the nation doing wrong? What's the church doing wrong? And you know, it may be one way or the other in terms of how you ultimately evaluate it, but bottom line, it'll give you a healthier perspective. That's why in Philippians 4, where we're told to cast all of our, to come to the Lord with all of our concerns and pray, that we are to do it with thanksgiving. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Let us go to Jameson in Charlotte. What's on your heart?
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for having me on. What you were saying earlier about hearing the voice of God, I have basically learned how to find that. I've been trying to help people, you know, understand what the Scripture says about that over the last year or so. And ultimately, in my mind, it comes down to Isaiah 58 and Matthew 25, where it talks about the sheep and the goats, feeding the hungry, giving them drink, giving them clothes, and giving them shelter, even if it's as simple as buying a tent. And Isaiah 58 basically says the same thing, that that's what God calls a fast.
Yeah.
When you feed the hungry and you give them drink, you give them clothes. In fact, James 2:9 talks about faith without deeds, and how, you know, he specifically talks about feeding the hungry and giving them drink and shelter and whatnot. So if anybody is out there and they're wanting to hear God talk the same way that this police officer experienced, I would just encourage them to look at that and start to get into that practice, and ultimately just start believing that God wants to talk, or, you know, to us.
Yeah.
And ultimately, what I have learned is the Bible is not only a historical account, but it's a how-to book. It's the ultimate how-to book.
It is. And just to jump in, Jameson, because I don't want this to be lost, Isaiah 58, God rebukes the people. They seem so spiritual. They seem so prayerful that, you know, when they're fasting and all, and how come you're not rewarding us? And God says, yeah, you want to fast it that's going to matter to me. Then while you're fasting, care for the poor and the needy and the hurting. You know, we can be so spiritual, but are we helping those in real need? This is something that's dear to the heart of God. And interestingly, this is something that even the world thinks we're supposed to be doing, that the church is supposed to be doing. So if you say, God, I don't know what to do, look at Isaiah 58. Look at Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Hey, Jameson, thank you for weighing in. We go over to Woodstock, Georgia. Eric, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. It's good to hear your voice, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Just real quick, I wanted to say that I really believe, and in fact, I'm absolutely convinced in my heart that God has raised up our president to help shift things spiritually and politically in our nation. And no, he's not our savior. You know, obviously the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, he alone is our savior. And that being said, he has the authority and the privilege and the right as the sovereign king to raise up any leader he wants to push forth his prerogative and kingdom purposes in any country, especially a country that has his people in it that cry out to him and trust him for a change. So, in terms of the optimism, just real quick, just not to, you know, take up time, what President Trump did in Wednesday, December 6th last year, was a very prophetic act. Yes, you know, in the natural, it seems like he was just simply, you know, acting upon a law that was passed more than 20 years ago. But spiritually, I believe those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, that was a prophetic act where the Lord is setting up Israel for revival, setting up America for great blessing, and setting up even the nations that want to come against Israel.
Yeah,
I almost believe that in a way God's baiting them. So that way, should they still reject his pleas of mercy and grace, they still decide to come against Israel, then God will bait them, harden them, and then reveal his glory by defeating them. So
I do appreciate that, sir. And for those that don't realize, although you mentioned Israel, so we're talking about the relocating of the embassy, saying that we'll be relocating our embassy to Jerusalem. And I was at a joint event, I mentioned it yesterday, but Monday night with Jewish leaders and with Christian leaders. And the fact that President Trump did this was very, very important, very, very big to them. Hey, Eric, thank you for calling. Listen, we're talking about America. We're talking about the state of America. God's perspective on it. I have a free ebook I want to give you. A free ebook, yeah, absolutely free, no strings attached. A free ebook on 5 ways to pray for America, how to pray for America. You say, how do I get it? Just go to my website and give us your email address, name and email address. That's it. So we'll then get you the information for the free ebook. Also, when you get on our e-list, every single week, we'll let you know about special resources we've made available. And at the end of every week, we'll send you a link that says, okay, here are our new articles for the week and new videos. So if you miss anything, you're going to have all the info in one email every week, giving you the highlights of latest articles, latest videos. And we've got a great resource this week also called Minds on Fire, a message I preached. And I was kind of shocked by the unreal response. I mean, people just really got into the message. And it's about how God wants to anoint our minds, how God's gifts, God's spirit, he wants to anoint our minds. So that's all at the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Go there. Make sure you get the free ebook, okay? Get the free ebook, How to Pray for America. And then check out some of the resources there as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Des Moines, Iowa. Frank, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I'm optimistic about the future as long as Trump is in office. And I think if this was a different conservative president, like Ted Cruz, the God comment that the police officer said that God had spoken to him would be a little more well-received, because I think there's still a lot of lingering Never Trump out there. I read your article about it on Charisma News, your challenge to the Never Trump hating crowd, and I just would merely suggest that it seems to me their lingering resentment is because they have bought into some dominionist reconstructionist replacement theology, and I think that's the axe they have to grind.
Yeah, no, I to be candid with you, I appreciate what you're saying, but I definitely don't think that's the issue. Most of the Never Trumpers that I'm aware of have nothing to do with a dominionist type of mentality at all, and certainly Senator Cruz didn't. But what I think it is just they had issues with who he was as a man, and they didn't trust him, and they thought he'd be destructive and negative, and so every time he does something that they differ with, that's further confirmation for them. But just like I've appealed to folks on both sides. So I wrote an honest challenge for the Never Trumpers. You can read it on my website, askdrbrown.org, to say, okay, look at the good that he's done, especially pro-life. You can't deny it. Look at the good he's done. And then I've challenged others who make Donald Trump almost into a savior figure, as if he can do no wrong. Why can't you praise him for the good and then differ with the bad? Why can't you do that? But thank you, sir, for weighing in. Let's see. Still time. We'll go to Ann in Kentucky. Dive right in, because time is short.
Okay. Yesterday, I listened to Mitch McConnell give his opinion about how things have gone in the last year. And he said that he's been there for 30 years, and this is the best year he's experienced, in his opinion. He said what's different for the public is now social media and all of these ways that the general population can see what's happening. It looks so rancorous, but he said, this is the history of America. And if you read back through the early days, he said it was spirited debate just like this. People almost came to blows on the floor.
Yep. Yep.
And, this is kind of typical for the spirited debate, that we're lucky enough for it to matter. Our opinions, we bring them, we're strong about them, and they matter, and that's how we make our decisions.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for weighing in with that. And it is interesting, Mitch McConnell, who is not a favorite of many conservatives, said Trump's first year was the best one for conservatives since he's been in the Senate. And it is interesting. Yeah, we've had some very intense political debates and raucous discussion. And you go back even to the days of our founding fathers, some of the political campaigns, it got pretty brutal. Now social media makes it even more brutal because everybody joins in. In any case, listen, step back and ask yourself, what are we doing right? Rejoice in that. What are we doing wrong? Grieve over that. And let's go to God and say, Father, how can we be used to make a difference? Tomorrow, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, we'll be here waiting for you.